When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up?
What's going on?
Hey. Check.
How you doing?
Hey, we got the boys back together here.
Yeah.
See, our chemistry is just immediate. It's just, yeah. This is what people have been missing.
One, two. There we go.
There we go.
We'll get into the visitor, but before we do that, before we even play the theme song, Mike.
Yeah.
What's your favorite version of Powderfinger? That's what the people want to know.
By people, do you mean just like you guys?
A few people on Facebook, a few of the patrons. Because yeah. I said the version on Hitchhiker is my favorite version of Powderfinger. And I got some agreements and some disagreements.
Yeah, I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we just talking about Hitchhiker and Rust Never Sleeps? Or are we going to go through all the live versions we've heard?
I mean, those are your two basic ones.
Pretty much. Yeah. Rust Never Sleeps. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
The electric version.
All right. So you and Craig Bitch are on the same page.
That's right. Me and Craig have very similar tastes.
I think that, I wonder if that'll hold true.
I'm going to change my name to Mike Bitch.
Bitch shoe.
That's right, bitch. Mike Bitch.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Shue and the Condon Boys. Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
Thank you for listening to Long May You Young, one of two Neil Young podcasts that we know of. And it was also given rave reviews by the, what's the daily podcast called? Wasting your time,
something or formerly other. Deliberately wasting your time.
Right, there's some kind of legal matter there. I don't know what the actual title is. Rave reviews, just although rave reviews. They said we were beautiful.
They did. Yeah. Although the second Neil Young podcast that you're referring to was not the one that they also covered on that podcast.
Well, that one hasn't posted in a long years. Yeah. So the only other one is Joel's "Don't Be Denied," which is in French for those of you that speak French. Why am I even telling you? You probably can't understand me. But it's a pretty good podcast because I don't even know what Joel's saying. All I know is Joel probably knows more than all three of us put together about Neil Young.
So oh, he definitely does.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, well, I'll just say I'm Mike Shue, and this is Luke and Russ Condon from the band Town Meeting. And we started this 38 albums ago. Is that what it is?
38 studio albums ago.
Studio albums ago, plus the live releases and interviews and talking about the films and other stuff we've branched out on. So thanks for sticking with Long May You Young on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
I'll have to add it up, but we're pretty damn close to 100 episodes. So between Patreon bonus episodes and everything.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. What's the Patreon? Where can people go for that quality Patreon content?
Patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. We have bonus episodes, all kinds of good stuff. And thanks to our top-tier patrons, Craig Bitch, Mark Ray, and, of course, John Locke. And extra thanks to them for hopping on. They filled in for you, Mike, on our Hitchhiker episode.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, you guys. I appreciate that. My grandmother passed away. She was 101 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. Wow. She had quite the life, and she was a loving and compassionate woman through all of those years. And God bless her.
Was she still
she was a lesbian, Russ. You're absolutely right. I don't even think she ever said the word lesbian in her 101 years.
I'm sure she had. She must.
I don't know. She knew what she knows. She knew what
she
it
didn't
was.
Need to say. Absolutely. It. She lived it, brother.
No, she didn't. She was not a lesbian. My no, was
I was gonna.
Man.
I was gonna ask if she was like all with it towards the end. Because we our great grandmother passed when she was 106, Luke.
Yeah, I think 107. I don't
107,
know.
106 or something like that. But she was like not, you know, she didn't know.
Past year she's been, she was struggling.
Yeah.
But a great woman. I used to spend my summers at my grandparents' house in Nowheresville, Pennsylvania, and had some really great experiences with her. So that's why I was out. Nice. So I appreciate the patrons, the Patreons.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fun.
That's the New England Patriots Patreon.
The New England Patreons.
I do. No, we definitely appreciate them. I do feel bad. Mark Ray couldn't join. I think he said he was in Germany. But those guys, I mean, wow. I'm definitely going to call on them to step up at any point. And then I did, just because I figured I'd throw it in, I did the first episode of The Real Housewives of Long May You Young. I just interviewed my wife about Neil.
Jesus Christ, really?
She doesn't like him.
Oh. So,
it was good. Russ just happened to be over, so he hopped on. It was good.
I guess we could interview my wife. She loves Neil Young.
My wife.
I feel like our wives / girlfriends collectively kind of run the gamut because my wife doesn't like Neil at all.
Right.
I feel like Alana is probably right.
She's
in the middle.
She's like in the middle. She likes some Neil, but not all of it.
The common string, I think, between all three of our significant others is they think this podcast sucks.
Yep. Probably.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
My wife.
Got that going for us.
She said on the podcast she's never listened to a single minute of it.
Yeah, the only time my wife's heard is when I was listening to it, and that was just in passing for her. She's like, oh, is this the Neil Young thing? Oh, okay, and then she'd leave the room.
And then you hear her throw up a little bit in the bathroom.
And then she's going like, those guys stink. They don't know shit.
She's like, I already made a bad enough decision marrying this fucking doofus, and now he's doing a Neil Young podcast.
Stuck with this.
Thought it was bad enough when he started a podcast with Josh Dolan, and now I got to deal with these idiots.
Right? Jesus.
I will say, I mean, we're coming down the home stretch. It's starting to feel like that last, not that I have any marathon running experience, but it feels like...
why are you asking us?
I'm saying it feels like that paint, like was it Heartbreak Hill or Heartbreak Mile, whatever it is.
Heartbreak
on the
Hill,
marathon.
Yeah.
It feels like we're there, especially, I mean, I hate to say it, but especially with this album.
These are tough years.
Heartbreaker.
These are tough years.
This is a heartbreaker.
Absolutely.
This might be the one time we all kind of agree.
Even the 80s, at least, were interesting.
Yeah.
This period is sometimes just, whoo. Yeah.
It was,
we'll get into it.
I was listening to, on my way back from Pennsylvania, I listened to a lot of Neil, and I listened, I listened to Tonight's the Night, and I listened to Zuma a couple of times. And I listened to Way Down in the Rust Bucket, and I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
And then I throw this one on, and I'm just like,
you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't listen to 70s Neil and then go to 2017 Neil.
You're right, Russ.
That's a bad move, too.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Russ.
But that is a bad move. Yeah,
it's tricky. But, Mike, do you want to just give a quick, like, your thoughts on Hitchhiker? What were your kind of general opinion?
I loved it. I mean, I love it. I go back to that a lot.
Same.
And it's not like I don't like that version of Powderfinger, but I just prefer the electric one. But I love did you guys talk about the story about how it was recorded?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those full moon recordings, and it's like he just busted out all these amazing songs.
Yeah.
With Briggs.
So good. Yeah,
and
with Briggs.
Briggs was definitely a part, you know, he's part of that whole vibe of that record. And, I just love that. I love it's like that's he captured that Neil just when he was just so super prolific with top shelf material.
Yeah.
You talked about like he wanted to release that as an album.
Right.
And they shot him down. And I always think thank God they shot him down on that. because then we wouldn't have the electric version of Powderfinger.
Right.
You know, or the other versions of the other songs.
Yeah.
We talked, I think Russ brought that up too. Like what would it have been like if
alternate universe, if that did get released, because then we wouldn't have gotten all those other.
Yeah. Well, that's time traveling Neil, right? He kind of went into the future and he was like, wow, my career petered out like in 1980, you know, maybe I should kind of revisit something. And then he's like, okay, you know what? Maybe the record company guys were right this time. You know, I'm going to just break apart Hitchhiker and scatter those songs over a bunch of albums. And then,
Well, so it's interesting because Hitchhiker, we were all in agreement on how much we enjoy it and we'll go back to it. And I feel like we kind of all lean the same way on this one. We haven't talked about this one at all previously.
Well, yeah, we're doing The Visitor today. This is like the second studio album with Promise of the Real. And yeah, it took me a while to get into this one, to embrace it. Although, you know, after several listenings, I found some really great, I mean, I became very fond of a few things. But again, it probably won't be an album I'll go back to as much as Hitchhiker or Tonight's the Night or Ragged Glory, you know.
No.
Something like that. You know, I just, it's, and no diss on Promise of the Real, it just lacks a little steam, in my opinion.
Yeah,
yeah.
To use a train metaphor in a Neil Young podcast, if I may, it, you know, they could have thrown some more coal into that engine.
I mean, I know we always get to this, but I found it interesting that, was it Joel on Facebook who said he likes this one more than Monsanto Years, which I'm like, what? I feel the complete opposite. Like, at least in Monsanto Years, I really like what's happening with, you know, the band, with the music.
So
in this one, I don't connect with it. Just as, I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to, Luke, do you want to go over the Facebook? There's only a few Facebook posts.
There's only a few.
They're good ones.
They're good, but they're very, they're all different. And I don't necessarily agree with them. So Joel says, somehow I like this one a little more than Monsanto Years. The production is great. And you really start to hear the influence of Promise of the Real on Neil. Carnival is probably one of the weirdest Neil Young songs ever, but I think it's great that he's able to find ways to experiment and still explore genres after all these years.
I mean, I agree with that last statement that, like, it's, you know, it's cool that he's able to, that he's still, like, exploring and having fun.
Right.
And,
Yeah, I guess.
And that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we love Neil.
It's not. It's not.
Fucking Neil, man. You know, he'll just,
Oh, yeah.
He but doesn't care.
But it's not better than Monsanto Years. I'm sorry. Monsanto
no,
Years.
No.
Joel, what are you doing, man? Come on. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, no, I feel... I don't know if I even agree with the whole...
Carnival sucks as a song. I'm sorry. It stinks.
No. I'm not saying that.
We'll have words later.
Yeah, I okay. But what I was going to say is...
Later.
Okay. Is that even the statement about... Promise of the Real having an influence on Neil, I don't even feel that's true. I think they're so much more present in Monsanto Years, and they're, you know, I don't know.
Hold on a second. Real Housewives of Long May You Young in progress.
What's up? You okay?
Hi.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
All right.
That's all.
Hey, do you like Neil Young?
Yeah, I do a lot. I used to.
Oh,
okay. Perfect.
I like you a lot.
That's a perfect statement. Perfect statement for this album.
I used to.
Yeah.
Don't let her. Don't subject her to this one.
No. Yeah. No. 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 She likes Top Shelf Neil. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Top Shelf.
That's
Neil.
Great.
Ooh, I kind of want to. I mean, this would be a complicated image, but just make a bar, and then you can put the Top Shelf Neil, the mid-range Neil.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Who did the comic book cover for us?
Oh, that was Chris Letart. I'll get him back on it.
Yeah, see if Chris Letart can do a little illustration of that for us.
That'd be great.
Before he drinks a whole 12-pack, that would be great.
He actually, I think he's 1 year sober. I think.
Oh, congratulations,
I think
Chris.
The episode he did with us pushed him over the...
Pushed him over the edge, yeah. He was shit-faced, yeah. But, yeah, it lacks something here. There's something more.
Yeah,
and Neil writes in the article part on Neil Young Archives, who I'm mad at right now, but He wrote on the article part, he said, this is a real fun album to do. I thought the chemistry was the best ever. I'm paraphrasing here with Promise the Real. We had a lot of fun making this. And
so interesting.
I don't know. I just didn't feel that. On a couple of points, I felt it. But
a couple of points, sure.
I agree with Joel. I like some of the production on here. I kind of hope that he would keep going in this direction, or maybe that's something he only does with Promise the Real. Because Monsanto Years and this one at moments have a real like 80s, 90s Tom Waits kind of junkyard sound, I like to call it. Like
I'd say the McGraw voice. Lo-fi.
Yeah,
the McGraw voice. Yeah.
No, I have a theory on that song.
Okay.
I have a theory when we get to it. I have a valid theory on that
song. Speaking of Tom Waits, James D. Clark says, always fond of this one and return to it often when I get MAGA-titis. Like MAGA-titis, obviously. Great theme. We all need to chill, and this album helps me deal with people with no chill. Top three, Forever, Change of Heart, and, of course, Carnival. I guess I'm on an island on this one. And then he writes, why Neil didn't do a Tom Waits cover on that Letter Home album, I don't know, but I'll take a whole album of that, like Trans, but call it Tom's. I strongly disagree with that because
I don't know if Neil even, have you ever read anything about Neil talking about Tom Waits or expressing any kind of like or dislike about Tom Waits?
I love
Tom Waits. I mean, that's like, you know,
I like him in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, that was
great. Yeah.
That's right. I'm old, but you're older, Mr. Pocket.
He was he was great in Licorice Pizza too.
I didn't see that. Was that good?
It was good. He was really good. I like him as an actor. His music is not for me, I think.
No?
I don't know.
Well, there's several different stages of Tom Waits. You got to choose the one you like.
Early Tom Waits, my cousin turned me on to a little bit. But
when he was more traditional.
Yeah.
And then he entered the, as Russ likes to say, the cool daddy phase, Tom Waits, where he basically became like a beatnik. Mm-hmm. And then he entered the weird, like that lo-fi, you know, experimental period, which I love. But that's kind of what that period comes out more on this album. It came out a little on the Monsanto Years, but on this album, it comes out a lot more.
A lot on this one.
And I kind of wish that Neil would kind of pursue that. But maybe that's like his Promise the Real thing. Like he's got his Crazy Horse thing, and this is his Promise the Real thing.
Yeah.
He can only sound like that with these guys, you know?
So the last comment is Craig Bitch, this is where me and Craig Bitch agree. He just writes, I'll be honest, the first time I listened to this, I didn't enjoy it whatsoever. I gave it another shot a little bit ago, still a snoozer. My cut song, tracks 1 through 10. So Craig Bitch, not a fan.
Craig Bitch might be a long lost brother of mine. I'm just going to change my name to Mike Bitch. Although after, you know, I listened to this one a lot.
In the past few days.
I was really trying. I was trying hard.
All right.
And I did find some stuff that I really actually loved a lot. There might be some songs that if I did a Neil Young playlist, then that's what I put maybe one or two from here on there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. Maybe
really
one.
So you really don't like this album as a whole?
No, I don't. I don't. I just musically. Yeah,
for once, I'm with Luke. This, I didn't. To be completely real with you, though, I don't think I listened to it nearly as much as you did, Shu. I only listened like twice.
To be fair, I listened to it like maybe 7 or 8 times.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Like the past
for this,
it just past, it like, also just wasn't the. It probably was. I just wasn't in the right mood. You know, sometimes there's certain Neil albums, certain like that I if I was in the exact right mood, then I could be like, yeah, you know what? I really love Carnival. I really love these different things.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I wasn't.
I felt that way too, Russ. There were times where I was in the middle of listening to it going, all right, I'm done with this right now.
Yeah.
I can't even go on. This is annoying me. Yeah.
It doesn't help that I don't want to bring this band up in front of Shu, but Dawes, one of me and Russ's favorite band, released a single and then put their whole new album out live, Mike. And if you even, oh, I don't,
that.
It
I think that's
would,
cool.
They did it for one weekend and then they pulled it and then the album comes out in July. But it's literally them in a studio playing it live, and it might be one of the best things I've ever seen and heard. It's unbelievable.
I like when bands do that.
It's like really, really good.
And that's a Neil thing too, you know, just getting in there and recording it live.
Yeah. And but the album itself is not, like, the album is not what they did that in the studio.
Right.
They
played it all the way through live.
Yes.
Yeah.
And released that just for a weekend.
They did that with Wasting Light. So
that's cool.
Grohl's original idea was to do that and record it on an analog tape. And then somewhere along the way, they ditched that. But when Wasting Light came out, you can find it on YouTube. They play the whole album all the way through in their studio live.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, sounds pretty awesome. That's cool.
Mike.
So you're saying that's not available now?
It's not publicly available, but we may be able to give you a little taste somewhere. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to hear that.
But
I don't totally hate Dawes, but, you know, after a while, I feel like hanging myself.
I
think you'll like this record. Yeah.
Mike, yeah. It's six songs. It's 50 minutes. It's awesome.
Wow.
You don't, every song is good. Yeah, I can't, and I'm the same way I am with Neil, I am with Dawes. I was critical of one of their albums two albums ago. This album, immediately, I'm like, this is their best album. It's the best album they've ever made. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a single. You can listen to the single.
So good.
And I think you'd like that even, okay, too.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyway,
let's get into this, yeah?
Yeah, but hold, I just want to, we'll read a 5-star review if you leave one on Apple, on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Also, we'll pretty much just read any review. Here's a 2-star review, and it's supposed to be insulting, but it really just comes across as very accurate. This is from Swift Cut. The title of the review is Can't Get Into It. And they say, it's pretty cringe, to be honest. They just talk about jizz and bring up their own band all the time. I tried to like it, but hey, if it wasn't Neil related, it would be a hard 1-star, LOL.
So, all right.
It's all right. Fairly accurate.
I guess that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
In all fairness, Luke is the one with the jizz obsession.
I've converted both of you guys.
No.
But on that note, I would like to plug a few town meeting dates, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, God. Here comes the jizz.
Town Meeting has a new album out, and we are doing a little mini tour in the Northeast. We're going to be in Philadelphia on June 15th at Attic Brewing. We're going to be in D.C. at a place called The Pocket on the next night, Thursday.
Mr. Pocket!
Limited space at all these shows, so get the, like, I just made a Facebook event.
Yeah, you got to tell all your Pennsylvania friends.
Yeah, come out. Attic Brewing in Pennsylvania.
They live in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I do have a cousin who lives, I think, in Paoli.
Tell him to come out.
Which is like 15 minutes, I think, outside of Philly.
It's going
to
be fun.
Tell her to come out. She likes to party with the ladies.
It's going
to
be fun.
Oh, so you mean your grandmother?
Yeah, she's like your grandmother.
My grandmother's dead, Russ. Thanks for opening that wound.
Too soon.
Friday, June 17th, that's my birthday. We'll be in New York City at the Rockwood Music Hall. It's one of our favorite places. Super limited tickets to that. Grab those now. Just so you guys know, we almost positively will be covering a Neil Young song at every one of these shows. I'm sure we will. We're at the Stomping Ground in Connecticut. We're at Foam Brewers in Burlington, Vermont on June 24th. And then our big album release shows, Boston at Brighton Music Hall with friends of ours in a band called Air Traffic Controller. That'll be our album release show. That is July 8th. It's a Friday night. That's going to be a ton of fun. And our last night is July 9th in Portland, Maine at Portland House of Music, also with Air Traffic Controller. Please grab tickets to these. We're going to be playing Neil. We're going to be playing our songs. It's going to be a ton of fun. And here I am talking about our band. And also, I just masturbated, so jizz.
There we go. All right. So we've nice. Covered all that. The jizz and the town meeting.
Do you know what
can
I mean about...
Can we move on now?
We can, but do you know... Are you feeling what I'm feeling about Heartbreak Hill here? Like, this has got to end soon. We got to get to the end of this soon.
Well, he just put out 3 bootlegs, you know, which are... You know, all from two of them are from the same tour that there's already like 2 other or 3 other live releases.
I know, but we've got to just, I mean, I love Neil. I love him, but we're coming on. We started this in 2020. We're yeah. two, over 2 years into this now.
If we get to a 100th episode that's not including the Patreon ones, you think Neil comes on for our 100th episode?
I don't know.
No. I don't think Neil will ever come on.
We're too edgy.
If Neil's heard this podcast, he'll never come on.
Right. And we know he has because he's, you know, he's posted about how much of a fan he is.
Yeah, he says we have a lot of fun over here.
And we do.
We do.
Now absolutely. Let's shit on one of his albums.
I know. Now let's quit. Neil, come on the podcast. By the way, The Visitor sucks. Not all of it though.
No. I will say
the first
song I do like. I like it lyrically, I like it musically.
Oh, I don't like it lyrically.
Really?
Yeah, it annoys me.
You don't like the first line?
Yeah,
the first line is like that's hilarious, but then the rest of it, I'm like, dude, I've heard it so many times.
So
he recorded
There's
this.
So many songs like that on this record where I'm like I'm just exhausted by it. I agree with it. I agree with it all, but I'm
right.
Just,
I like the message. I agree with the message.
Same, but it's like
it's delivered in a clunky and awkward way.
But it's like maybe it's I don't know. Maybe because I agree with it, it's not for me. But like the whoever he is intending to hear isn't going to listen. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I just
wait.
Are listening? Like even though I agree with him, I'm like I've heard it so many times. I agree with you. I don't need to keep hearing it.
So you think so? He's preaching to the choir.
Yes. 100%.
My theory on this album is kind of like what my theory on Storytone was. And that's like Neil's message now in this era is save the planet. And I don't know if you remember during the Storytone episode, I mentioned maybe he's doing the orchestral thing and the swing, you know, band thing in hopes of reaching an audience that he hasn't reached. So someone might hear that music at first and say, oh, what's this? And then Neil starts singing and then maybe they're like, okay, well, this is pretty cool. Then they hear the message. Whereas if they were listening to some other kind of orchestral recording, you know, so I'm thinking this is Neil kind of casting a wide net. And that's why I think this album is because there's so many different kind of styles on this record.
A little bit. It doesn't, I don't know. I don't know. This is his
Trump record. Let's just say that he recorded this in the first year of his presidency. Well, maybe not even in the first year. He recorded it leading up to his election, and then maybe a little bit afterwards. It came out December 2017.
Yeah.
So he's had a full year to sit on it and make tweaks if he even did that.
I bet though if I listened, I didn't. I mean, I heard Children of Destiny and stuff, but I didn't listen to this record when it came out. And I bet if I was like in that mindset, you know, when all of that was going down, I probably would have been way more into it then, you know, because I would have been like in the spirit of like, yeah, fuck Trump, fuck everything that's going on. And then I would have been like, you know, stand tall or whatever.
But oh, God, I hate that.
It's
too preachy. It's like,
it's heavy-handed.
It is, and I like like you said, I agree with what he's saying. I'm so exhausted by like, yeah, like Russ, you're right. It's preaching to the choir, and that's all everything is now. We're all just yelling into a void that we've made. Doesn't it feel like that? Like about Roe v. Wade, which is important, but I just want to be like, you're not going to change anyone's mind. You're just yelling at everyone who agrees with you because we've already made our bubbles. We're just sitting in our bubbles. I don't know. Go out and do something.
Planets are like bubbles floating through the air.
Yeah, I mean, if you're posting about things like that, then you should definitely be like showing up at protests and like making, you know.
Right.
I was just going to say that, Russ. How about instead of posting, you like make a sign and go stand somewhere.
Right.
Write a letter or an email, you know.
That's what you should
way more respect. Yeah. Way more
donating,
respect.
You know, like donating to different causes and to people who are trying to like pass bills that will actually stop those things, you know, like Bernie Sanders. But like whatever.
Russ, quit being edgelordy, okay?
I'm being very edgelordy.
You're being edgelordy. You know, Bernie
being
Sanders.
Bernie bro.
All right.
Well, I guess in that sense, Neil he made an album. So that's his sign that he's making.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I agree with everything. And also to what you're saying, yeah, we're all just like you know, preaching to the choir, yelling into our own bubble voids or whatever. But at the same time, it's still important to, I mean, like we just said, but posting and then creating an album are different things, you know? So it's like he's still getting his side of things out. And also, I feel like the pandemic has changed everything so drastically too. And this is pre-pandemic, obviously. So it's just a different universe. You know what I mean? It's an alternate, it's an alternate reality essentially. And I don't know.
It's a multiverse, Russ.
It is, man.
It's a multiverse. And Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and MJ, they're all there.
And Neil's the
there's three Neils. Maybe there's not
there's
just
three
one
Neils, because there's definitely a dark there's like a dark Lord Neil.
These are multiverse Neils, you know what I mean? Right? Yeah.
I get it. Don't make multiverse. A multiverse, Neil.
Right?
Somebody
make a multiverse, Neil. Joel, multiverse, Neil.
I prefer Father Neil, Son Neil, and the Holy Neil. I feel like that makes more sense.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. You're gonna have to do the archives. So that's gonna take you a minute to get up there.
I'm so mad at the archives.
Why are you mad at the archives?
Because I went to play something and they won't let me play anything because they say I have a free account, and I've been paying for a Rust account since they first offered it.
We should all get free Rust accounts, by the way.
Yeah, we should probably, because we promote the goddamn thing. But
we definitely do.
You know, so I wrote them a note, and I have yet to hear from them. And it's like, hey, and you know what's even more frustrating is that you can go on the archives, which is a good thing, and you can see where your payments are. They show you your payments.
Yeah. Mm.
So my payments are there, you know, and it's like, you're not letting me on to Rust, and you keep kicking me off in the middle of songs.
Well, Neil, we know you're listening. Can you fix this, please?
Yeah, Neil, get your IT guy over there and fix that. Would you
Russ,
Hanlon over there?
Russ, while you're pulling this up, we just got an email from a youngster named Kurt. He said, long may you young. I guess this proves I'm a real shaky nerd. I made a Neil Young playlist for the road. 30 songs, about 2.5 hours, using my own mandatory rules. Rule 1, no song can be on Neil's greatest hits album. Mm. Rule 2, no more than 2 songs from any one album. Mm. Rule 3, no live versions of previously released songs.
Oh.
Pretty cool. He said, I'm sure if a bunch of youngsters did this, there would be hundreds of songs included, which further demonstrates how prolific and diverse Neil really is. But this version is great. Listen for me until I create another one. And then he posted a link on Apple Music.
Nice.
Cool. So maybe we'll share that. I'm sure if he emailed it to us, I'm sure he doesn't mind. And then he just writes, walk on, Kurt. So I'll check this out. I don't have Apple Music, but we'll post it. I'm wondering if any songs from The Visitor showed up in this playlist. I'm very curious.
Oh, definitely Children of Destiny.
I'm wondering if I can look at it even though I'm not on Apple Music, because that would be interesting. Yeah, whatever. It's not letting me load it.
Okay. Are we ready to roll?
Let's roll.
All right. Oh, wait. That's Are You Passionate?
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to... Is John Craigie popping in? No, he's not. Craigie wants to come back on, he said, before we finish, he told me.
Oh, okay.
He's all over the place, by the way. I don't know if you... Are you guys following him? He's, like, everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
I love that
Good
guy.
For him.
He's a troubadour.
He is.
And a whistler snob.
And a weed thief from D. Snyder.
Yeah, weed thief. Right. Not D. Snyder, Tom Snyder.
I say D. Snyder.
John Craig, he's hanging out with D. Snyder, who's in full makeup, by the way.
He's stealing weed from D. What a different song that would be. Oh, God. All right. This podcast is already great.
Yeah. Nice. It's fantastic. Fuck that guy, 2-star guy.
Fuck that 2-star guy.
Yep.
Canadian vibe.
A piano in the chorus makes it sound like a Springsteen song.
And it makes it sound like it's a Bill Conti composition from Rocky.
Jesus Christ.
I like this song.
I like it too.
I like it too, yeah. I like it. It's I think a good start.
I think this album starts on the top of the mountain and then goes downhill and then starts to plummet, I think, personally for me.
Well, there's hills and valleys.
I think, I'm with Yushu. I think there's some stuff that's not, it doesn't go each song getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Right. Like, I think there's.
The mix is, to me, sonically, this is interesting because the mix is interesting. So he's got that, I love the guitar sound. And then the drums are way up front and super processed. And the vocals are like distorted to the point where you can kind of hear it kind of distorts in the sense where it almost makes it rhythmic.
You like that?
You know what I mean? I do. I love
that.
I
do too. And, yeah.
And then there's like, you can hear that banjo in the back.
Yeah. I like that.
But it's like, it sounds like it's in the back of the room, like 20 feet away from the microphone. And yeah. I dig that, man.
I do too.
It makes it more atmospheric. It just makes it more interesting. So I really like, sonically, I really like it.
This is easily my number one. I mean, musically, just right off the bat, sounds like they're having fun. I love that first line. I just love him saying, I'm Canadian, by the way. Mm-hmm. I just love that. It's
by the
so
way.
Fucking great. And it's just like, it's just a good, it moves well, it's catchy. This is a good song. And then, yeah, the part at the end, Russ is pulling up the lyrics by that, whose streets, our streets. I love that. I just like this. It's a cool song. It's a good song.
It goes on a little too long for
little,
me.
Yeah, a little bit, a little long. But
as long as Tom Dooley.
Yeah, not Dooley long, but.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Luke. Fine.
Well, I just like lyrically too. I love that it's just a response to Make America Great Again. And he's like, it's already great.
It's already great. And we are a country of immigrants. And I know he's talking about his personal experience as an immigrant. And I bet you a lot of people who are casual Neil Young fans or maybe just know like stuff from Harvest probably don't even know he's Canadian.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think he is kind of speaking for all people who immigrated to this country. We're already great because that's what the original, you know, that's what Whitey did back in the, you know, 1600s. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's where the white people came from.
I thought you were talking about Whitey Bulger for a second.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. His great great grandfather may have come over on the Mayflower, you know. He was the first to make a deal with the Indians, though. That's for sure, right? I'll give you these fucking beads, all right? And you get this section of Plymouth, and then you get part of the shoreline, but only on Tuesdays. Hold on.
And then no matter what, I take a fucking pipe to your head.
I love the idea of...
And not a peace pipe.
Talking about a peace pipe, all right?
It's the Pilgrims with their English accent. And then right. Whitey Bulger already has a Southie. He's already
Whitey Bulger. Yeah, he's just like South Boston. Kidding me? You kidding? This is all you got? You got corn? You brought me corn. You should be embarrassed.
Corn?
You should be fucking embarrassed for yourself. Just this corn? Is that it?
Are you fucking kidding me, kid?
At least they brought lobsters.
Lobsters. what do I look like?
You don't have any fucking lobsters or clams?
Where's the butter?
Do I look like I'm from fucking Gloucester? Oh, fucking Rockport.
That's fine. You bring me butter, but it's not fucking melted.
Jesus. Hey, Goody Pemberty, get in there and start churning. We don't have enough butter for the fucking lobsters.
Don't say Goody Pemberty. That's a good reference, Mike.
Where'd you get those beads, kid? You're looking pretty sharp.
Right. Whitey Bulger.
Right, that's enough.
I do think that you guys... You did turn me a little bit as far as digging these lyrics a bit more.
They're good.
Because at first I was like, I don't.
Yeah, the problem is, Russ, though, it's just kind of this a lot.
That's what I mean. Okay, I think that's what it was. When I first listened to it, I liked this. But then after listening to the album once and then going back and listening again, I was like,
Yeah, it's like this,
you know?
And it's this, but it's not as good as this.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
So you're right. So I think I need to kind of take that out of it, you know, the like listen through type of thing. But the first listen, I agree. And I do like a lot of what that's saying. Go ahead, Luke.
No, I was going to make a dumb joke about how you had a change of heart and this album was bad. But what about when bad got good? But, you know, I should have just been quiet.
Stop. Just stop.
Yeah, you're right. Because if you start that now, you're going to just go. Stop. It's going to be a carnival of you just trying to do that for
you know what? Yeah, and I don't want to be a fly-by-night deal. So
stop. Okay, let's just.
It's cringy.
Mike, fly-by-night deal or fly-by-night?
Oh, there goes the archives, guys.
Yeah. It knocked him off. Does.
Did you see that?
Oh, we weren't enjoying this record. Just load us off. Yeah, log us out, will you?
Literally.
Log us out in the middle of listening to an album that you're trying to friggin' promote.
It's just always did they knock you
out of the classic thing too?
I don't know.
Look at that. Unbelievable. Listen, the archives is great. It's a tsunami of Neil. Like, you cannot handle all the information about Neil on there. I don't care who you are. You can't have a job and a family if you want to consume everything the archives has to offer. But this kind of stuff happens all the time.
It just boots you out.
And it's like, you know what? I get it. You know, this is what Neil does. You know, he did it with Pono and the electric car. He's in the vanguard. I mean, it's a great thing, but it's just like, it's got its hiccups for sure.
It's cool that he's got his own platform, but it's wish it would, you know. I don't know.
Mike, Fly By Night Deal or Fly By Night by Rush?
Oh, come on.
I think I go Fly By Night Deal.
All right, let's play a little Fly By Night Deal.
I definitely don't.
Fly By Night. Little Glockenspiel.
This song could easily fit on Landing on Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a little bit, definitely. Yeah.
But it doesn't have that shitty 80s Korchmar production.
Thanks, Danny, for coming on. We appreciate it, man.
Speaking of that, Mark Schaaf from Performance Anxiety Podcast, also on the Pantheon Podcast Network, was offered Danny Korchmar. He asked me if I wanted to join in on the interview.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you join in?
No, he was offered, so he's trying to land him, and I don't know if he's going to get him. But if he does, but the only problem that is I'll start off probably. It'll probably be the shortest interview Mark's ever done. I don't want to ruin it. I'll just start off with, hey, whose ass tastes better, Neil's or Don Henley? You know, just. But this song has that Landing on Water vibe. It's kind of got that kind of rhythm to it, and the chorus reminds me of stuff on Landing on Water.
It's catchy little hook. But I think the other thing for me too is I think the announcer Neil is just getting old for me too. The like, you know what I mean? The like, here's the thing about the thing. Everyone listen up to the thing. Here's the thing about the day. You know, like that whole.
Are you sure he's announcing or is he rapping?
He's rapping.
Yeah, you're right.
Is this hip hop Neil?
Right.
Is this MC Neil?
Cool Daddy, No, this MC isn't even Shaky? This isn't even Cool Daddy. Yeah, this is MC Shaky.
Hey, Daryl! Daryl from Run DMC, I mean. Sorry. It worked. Hey, Daryl, walk this way! That's the only Run DMC song I know. It's not even them. This album still moves. It's still kind of up. This album, this song is still kind of up there for me. It dips.
Yeah, no, I like the music in this one. It's still kind of nice. It's still feeling like kind of fun and kind of big. And
here's the thing with a lot of these, like this one, I feel the same way about. Is it Change of Heart or I don't remember, whichever the first McGruff song is, where I'm like, this, it starts off, I'm like, I like the way this is sounding, and then I'm like, he does a thing, and I'm like, ugh, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of rapping Neil, if I'm being honest. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of the Greendale album was the announcer Neil, the rapping, into the bullhorn sort of.
A little bit.
There's a good amount of the bullhorn Neil in that,
I feel like you're talking bad about Crosby.
I just feel like we've heard a lot of the bullhorn Neil.
Well, he's less poetic, if I may say that.
I know, which I miss the poetry.
Yeah, he's just delivering a message now. He's delivering a message he thinks is important.
Which is fine. Maybe. Which is, again, it makes good for us to do a podcast about the guy, but because the fact that he can write such beautiful poetic songs, and then he can just straight up say a message,
I'm reading from the email I'm sending to Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Okay, no more. No more edgelording.
Is that edgelording? I'm still not sure what that is.
Yeah, I'm not positive either.
But we're definitely those. We're definitely that.
Whatever. That might be a Southern California thing.
It must be.
But yeah, no. I also wanted to point out this song, and later on in the album somewhere, but in this one in particular, he says tomorrow and borrow, and it's so Canadian, dude. He goes tomorrow, borrow.
Sorry, Russ.
Yeah,
sorry.
I forgot all about that.
With this song, I was really, really, really hoping, and you touched on this, Luke, that it was about the record deal that Rush made with Mercury, before they put out the Fly By Night album, after they changed drummers,
Can we just listen to Fly By Night?
That was Neil Peart's first album, by the way. It was fantastic.
I like Fly By Night. Fly By Night's the first Rush song I ever heard, and I thought it was really good. And then I heard actual Rush songs, and I'm like, these are better. Fly By Night's fine. It's not a.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's catchy.
It's so catchy.
Yeah, that's the radio tune.
Yeah.
Then you get into Bytor and the Snow Dog. Fantastic. Just fucking great.
So good.
All right, let's
I need you guys' help. Yeah, I need your help in this next song, because the melody sounds like another Neil song, and then the guitar riff is 100% another Neil song, and my brain is not there today, and I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let that lick play too.
That one.
That's Unknown Legend.
Thank you.
Lately,
yeah.
I've been thinking.
Da da da. But what is this melody?
Yeah.
Trying to fit in pieces of.
It's different enough, but it's still so close to something.
That's not gonna sit down right.
Just trying to add it up.
Yeah, you're right. That is what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Luke?
I didn't pick up on any of that. To me, the only note I had for this song was, this is this album's Wolf Moon. That's all I had.
Does it have to have a beer?
First beer reference in this album.
Shu, I think you're right. It's, what is that?
Unknown Legends.
No, I know that. The write along letter to all the good friends.
Yeah.
I've never seen. Yeah, that's right. That is what it is. What is the name of that? Why am I drawing a
blank? One of These Days.
One of these days. Yeah.
So both from the same album.
Both from Harvest Moon, yeah.
You know, instead of playing clips of the song, we should all just sing it. And that guy will ramp it up to 3 stars.
Yeah, man.
This album's Wolf Moon. I feel like he was following I thought he was following the same Monsanto Years formula. And I'm like, all right, here's his harp. Acoustic-y song, and I'm
also it's like, if you couldn't tell by the first two, here's another one to make sure this album is about Trump.
Right.
I'm, you know, and, but also
the game show. I'm living with a game show host. Yeah,
that's a great line.
And I like that. I do great like line. That line.
I like the only that part line. Of the song and I really like.
Me
at,
too. Yeah.
At this point, sans the rapping a little bit, but I'm still in. I'm still in on this album. At
the
this
organ, I like the organ in this, and also it's kind of cute when he talks about the crazy little bird or whatever. And then the guitar does
first
that,
bird reference here.
Yeah. And then the guitar does that little flutter.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, I don't hate this tune, but
I wrote for what I wrote. Shu was, I guess I like this one, kinda.
I guess
that's what I wrote. Literally, I wrote, I guess I like this one, kinda.
Yeah,
I'm st- the I, next I'm one, still, not so much.
Yeah, let's just bite the bullet here. Let's just do it.
Oh yeah,
I wish it was that.
I wish.
Yeah.
Listen how funky this is, though.
Yeah. You'll like the new Dawes record then, bud.
Is it funky like this?
It's better.
That's something Neil isn't. Neil is not funky, usually.
Or sexy.
Right. It like it starts off like Curtis Mayfield and then becomes part of the soundtrack of Navy SEALs.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like Dan Moshpit would love that Stand Tall part, you know, with the Oakleys pissed in the air, hugging his bud, man.
Some eagle like, screaming by in the back.
Yeah. They're shaking up some Coors Tall Boys. You know? Silver Bullet, yeah.
I think this was really where I hit my like I don't know if I can do this much longer.
Yeah, this is the one that I was just like, this is annoying.
It's like, dude, I'm so grateful for this planet, and I I'm doing what I can and whatever, and I know I could do better, and like I know that it takes you and me, and that we gotta, and that the planet needs to live on, and like, well, you know, all that. I really agree with you, man. I really do, but like,
Yeah. Although he's got some, you know, he's got some good points to the deniers of science line. I mean, this is
That's what I mean.
You know?
There's little things. There's little moments where I'm
calls
like
him the boy king. I love.
Yeah,
that.
I know. That's what I mean. Like that's why I agree with you, Shu. Where there are tiny little moments, or medium sized or minuscule moments where I really do like. There's a new little flavor on the same old thing.
Right.
That makes me be like, oh, okay, man, he's keeping, you know, he's doing it, but like, it just takes some, you know.
I wrote down
patience, or I don't know.
Started off good, then I got sad. I think this is, like Rusty said, this is where it starts to turn for me, and I'm like, I don't know if I have much faith in this.
Started out musically. Great, and now I don't feel like I'm in a safe place.
I don't.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I just hate, I know you already touched on this, but I hate being this guy. And again, it's
Heartbreak Hill.
Without this stuff, without Neil being Neil and doing all these things. And again, there are those nice moments, but it was at this point, Shu, where I was like, I want to go listen to Tonight's the Night or Soon or on the Beach.
Yeah. You know, see, that was my problem. I was listening to
I'm
Zuma.
Glad I didn't do that.
I listened to Zuma and then I went to this and I was just like, oh boy, this is not Barstool Blues here. This is,
and as like, you know, as big Neil heads, it's good that we're, I mean, obviously we love the guy enough to be going through every single fucking album and, you know, spending time and not making any money doing it. But like,
we got to get through this here. We got to get through these albums here. We just got to get through them.
But
and then we got to take a long break. We just got to get through the albums and we just got to take, I'll shut the Patreon off for a little while. Just give everyone
just
a break.
Crank out the albums.
All right. Just take a break here.
Okay.
We've been doing this for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
This is a long time to just be listening to Neil. This is a long time.
This is a long time. It's a lot of Neil.
Yeah, but it's.
It is a lot of Neil.
It's just it's tough because
you know what? I've been listening to a lot of like Metallica and Slayer just to kind of counteract.
Yeah,
that's. I've been kind of getting back to my metal.
That's cool.
Just to kind of like cleanse yeah. the palate.
That's know? Where we're at. We're all. We used to do it out of enjoyment. When we first did this, I remember when we got to like right. after the Gold Rush.
Well, it was easier. It was easier.
That's
then.
The problem. That's
it went
the
down
thing.
Smooth.
You know?
Went down.
It was.
Although, but then that's the thing. Then in the '90s, I was like. I was excited to do, you know, some of those out. Like it was.
Yeah, I enjoyed doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil's a goddamn. Yeah. So he's a goddamn drug dealer. The first one's free. And he
right.
got us in.
And instead of baby formula, he's cutting it with Comet. You know, we're snorting Comet.
You'll fucking listen to Stand Tall, and you'll pay me my fucking money for
right.
it.
It's like, all right, Neil. All right, listen.
I'm the one who knocks.
I'll let you put the head in this time, but next time I just you know just make it a good one, okay? Next time for the next one, okay?
Yeah, but then again he'll throw in a quick little
that.
Thing.
I'm not speaking from experience, by
the way. Sure.
Be a quick little moment, Chu. Like you said, some of those like that lyric, those couple of lyrics in here.
Right. So those are some cool lines. You
and
know?
The funky stuff right at the top of the song,
like
and also he gives us some of that like classic. Crunchy ass Neil guitar right at the end of the song.
Like the solo closing out the song is pretty jagged and full of rage, and I like that.
Me too. Yeah, let's see if I can find a piece of that. See how
I go to 425.
It's gonna kick you off.
Yeah, it is. It's gonna boot. It's gonna boot you. That's what the archives does.
It's gonna boot you. Boot.
They hate this song. Boot Russ off the archive. Hey, Daryl.
Daryl controls the archives.
Yeah, my screen just says booted. Love DH Love Life. Yeah,
see,
I mean,
I love that because it's like it's you know what, that guitar solo right there, pretty much, said everything he said in the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell, you could feel that solo there.
Everything he said in the first four songs.
Yeah, you could just feel it. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of rage. It's like the stuff on El Dorado. You know, he just wanted to say fuck you to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So he turned his he turned his guitars up all the way to 11. He put out extra Marshalls, and he just made it sound so distorted and loud. You know, and that's what he's doing here, which I love that about Neil. Like he takes it out on the guitar, but everything before that, I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All
let's,
right. Let's
move. Let's move on to Change of Heart.
Yeah. Let's get. Let's yeah.
Really, really disappointed this wasn't a Tom Petty cover.
Yeah. Hold on, I'll play it right now. Just give me one second.
She was a Canarican girl.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
I knew someone was going to do this.
Oh, my God. Are you playing, what's his name?
Edward Sharpe in the Magnetic
Heroes. Edward Sharpe, yeah, man.
Alabama, totally, Arkansas.
Totally
I
what
do
I thought.
Love my Daryl's bra.
Totally what I thought. Cause, yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. Yeah, I had a feeling someone else probably wrote that down, but I needed to just do
He
that.
Knew that the Promise of the Real, they got good whistling, like from Monsanto years, like, they got to throw something in, but this is one of the ones where it starts off. I'm like, I like the way this starts. And then is this the McGruff one?
And then McGruff shows up, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yes.
All right. Let's actually listen to the real song. It's got like the same effect on it and everything.
This is like,
talk to the people.
Yeah, I got people.
They know the truth.
Listen to the people.
Time don't mean
nothing.
Oh, yeah,
now.
It's the ways that you choose to go on living inside your house or move a mountain, an elephant or a mouse.
staying and dying inside.
All right, can we just turn it off?
Sometimes you move.
Please.
Sometimes you ride away.
Say no to drugs. Don't do drugs.
No, this is like...
Only you can prevent forest fires.
No, no, Luke, this is totally like Airbnb. Explore your planet with Airbnb.
No.
Ridiculous.
Let me go home. Home is where I'm with you.
I sincerely believe this is a sequel to Mr. Disappointment from Are You Passionate? It's the same guy, but he's come around. He's had a change of heart.
Mike,
oh yeah,
cleaned up his life, and he wants to
doing
be
some
a,
deep
wants
dive
to be
in there.
Man.
That's a yeah. Mike's fucking rabbit hole. Yeah. He's got a whole conspiracy Mike, going. Oh, yeah. I love it
because it's the McGruff voice.
Yeah,
and that's the only other song I think I know that has the McGruff voice. I'm thinking, I wonder if this is the same guy.
No, there's another one.
Yeah, he does it in
fuck.
Is it the same McGruff voice?
It's a Take similar a McGruff voice.
I feel like he does McGruff a couple times between.
We gotta stop saying he does McGruff.
Hey, Daryl, they think I sound like a cartoon dog.
No, not Snoopy. No, not Scooby.
Roro. Jinkies.
I ran out of cartoon dogs. Which I feel like there's way more cartoon dogs.
That was a good one. Yeah, I think this is a sequel to Mr. Disappointment.
Yeah.
That's all I got on this one.
All right.
Although, I like the way it starts.
Second song that mentions beer. I think Neil was exploring the world of beer, craft brews.
Yeah.
You it's know? Also another. It's also another one where he says tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow! I'm gonna go get some more beer there.
Hey, yeah. Daryl, get me a Molson.
That's the only Canadian.
I got a 12 pack of Labatt's back in the truck.
Labatt's.
I didn't have much except for the whistle being like Edward Sharpe, and also that I just wrote chill vibe.
It even had the same tone.
And then McGruff. I wrote Sharp McGruff one. Is back, obviously. But yeah, you're right. It's got like the same tone. It's the same like reverb-y effect on it and everything.
Is that little David Briggs?
Yeah, he's been wanting you to notice that for a while.
Oh. Hey, buddy.
He misses you.
How you doing? Mike. I miss you, little David Briggs. Are you okay, buddy? You hungry?
You can tell he's fine crackers? By that big, huge crack in his skull.
Luke fucking did that to him.
I didn't do anything. He's your child. You just leave him here. All right, let's can we get through these? Let's go to this next song.
Let's
play the whole thing. Just play the whole thing. Why not?
We could do a whole episode on this song alone.
I feel like, guys, what I want you to imagine is Neil in a robe. And then he enters his marriage bedroom.
Stop.
And then this is what you hear when he drops the robe. Wait.
No, Luke, you're wrong. It's
and here goes the robe.
Yes.
This is him crawling towards the bed.
In a smoky tent, I approached his loudness. Step by step up the long stairway, and looked into the barrel at Evel Knievel's great grandfather.
Oh, I love that.
I like that too.
He was flying by in a silver jacket. He rode there in the barrel.
Oh, hold on, Russ. Let it go for a little while.
Right.
Securely forces.
Okay, bring it down a little bit. Bring it down just a little bit. All right, bear with me here.
Well, it's just like the ocean under the moon.
Oh, yeah, I know. I thought the same thing. Got the kind of loving that can be so smooth.
Give me a hug, make it real. Oh, just forget about it.
Yes.
Give Neil your heart.
Yes, give Neil your heart.
Back with that clock. Yeah. All right, can we fade this?
It's got all the carnival troops and tropes in there.
This is one of his best,
so
in my opinion. One of the greatest things he's ever recorded.
You're
ever.
Lying. And you're making that up.
This is like the only reason why I would probably go back to this album.
I agree. This song is so interesting and so wild.
So whacked out. I'll forever try to figure out who it's about. Who do you think it's about?
It's about no one. He heard that Tarantino was gonna make Kill Bill 3, and he's like, this will definitely get in it. That's 100% what this song is. If there's ever a Kill Bill 3, this song will be in it. I'm gonna bet you. Are they doing one?
Yeah, it takes place. The whole thing takes place on a train.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
No,
Luke,
if Quentin announced what his final movie is going to be, it'd be the biggest news. Of course, we'd all.
It's not going to be his final movie. He's been saying it's not.
Well, according to him, it is.
He's got to do a Star Trek move.
He's not going to do that either. It's a rumor.
Oh, come on. I love this song. I'm serious. This song is so bizarre and so weird. And I love super weird Neil. I mean, Neil's weird already.
Yeah, this is like this is Neil, yeah, this is like, and this is like Neil extra weird. Neil. This is like old it. Man weird Neil.
This is like some acid or peyote trip he had. I was trying to think, is this about like when he met Daryl and like Daryl's taking a chance on him and it's like tripping on mushrooms or
that's what I'm saying, you know, man. This is their first sexual experience together. Like being,
Well, that's the canon, very Freudian, you know, Evel Knievel. You know, he's like some kind of stuntman or daredevil.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's talking about someone else. Maybe he's talking about Briggs. You know, but what gets me from that is that in the chorus it's she.
Right.
And she's got red hair and she could be the child of the devil. Come on. Luke, those three things alone should make you love this song.
I think the only thing about this song that makes me is it's a little too long. If it was shorter, I would fucking I like it. I do
a
like
little,
it. Still.
A little too long. It's 8 minutes and 21 seconds.
Dude, you guys must have driven down Route 80 across Pennsylvania. It's just a straight line of nothing. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with this song was blasting, I loved it. I was laughing from
you can't not laugh from
like Williamsport all the way to friggin' Hazelwood.
What did your laugh sound like?
It sounded like this.
Oh, you cut Zoom cut you both out. Neil did that.
From now on when we laugh, Luke, you have to insert that laugh.
I will not do that.
Oh, come on. I seriously love this song. This is really the only reason.
I like it too.
It's friggin' so weird.
It's so weird good.
What are some of the other super weird Neil songs?
Super weird?
I mean, Motorcycle Mama's kind of weird. Like some of those.
It's kind of a goof, though. I'm talking Will to Love off of American Stars and Bars. You know, he recorded it by the fire.
Yeah.
And then he did like random percussion through the whole thing. And it was just like he kind of whispered it through the
I know we don't like it, but like there's like stuff like that on Life.
What's the one on Homegrown? Is it Florida where he like just tells Florida. A story?
Yeah, yeah, that's glasses. That's a weird one.
Yeah. See, I love that shit.
This is not
this one. This reminds me, Luke, this reminds me of that scene from Master of Disguise where he's like, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. It just might work.
That's a pretty good pistachio.
I mean, he's talking about like visiting. It's like it's got the whole circus theme.
Yeah.
And like he's on the fairway and that's the place where he's getting in trouble. You know, he's consuming the fairway. And then like he visits the guy again in the tent that's filled with smoke and he's tripping balls.
And I just picture like Willem Dafoe, you know, is the guy in the tent, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's dressed like Santa, but he's painted silver, right? Everything, beard, everything's like just silver. He's like a Tin Man Santa.
Yeah. You guys are insane. This song is not good.
It's friggin' awesome, Luke.
This song's so weird that it's so good.
Yeah, exactly. It goes over, and that's probably why you don't like Tom Waits, because a lot of Tom Waits is like that. It's so weird that it's not a love. It's more of like a curiosity.
I don't like anyone whose name is a complete sentence.
I just love that the same dude that wrote Birds also wrote this song.
Right?
The same dude that wrote Only Love Can Break Your Heart also wrote this song.
Right? Or like Pardon My Heart.
Yeah, exactly. Know? How can you, or fucking motion pictures. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
It's the same guy. It's the same guy wrote it. How can you not?
That's so fucking Neil, man.
Yeah. Out on the weekend, yeah.
Oh man, that's so funny.
You guys are really digging a hole in this podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ, there it is. Segue. Dad joke.
I mean, it doesn't get much more fucking Neil Man than that.
Yeah, that's crazy Neil. I love it.
As much as I dislike Carnival, I like digging a hole even less.
How good is that? That's so catchy.
I think the message in that song is life is a carnival, believe it or not.
Hey, man. You brought it up. Now I'm going to go on a tear.
Hey, Luke, would you like to buy a watch real cheap?
I don't want to do this right now.
He's got six on each arm. Two more. On
all right.
That's right.
Can we not get Russ going on a tangent? Can we wrap this up? We don't need a leave on thing. What are you going to bring up, Ben Keith next? Let's just let Russ.
This is the song they recorded after they had those beers that Neil mentioned earlier.
Yes. I also love this.
I like this too.
I like the whole chain gang work song, call and response thing.
Yeah.
And the gospel part there's already gospel in that stuff. But I think that this is the band to do that with you know, those guys already, you know, I'm sure the Nelson brothers were raised on a little bit of gospel with Willie anyway. And it's these are the guys to do it with. It's got a vibe.
I wrote the same thing. That vibe, you know, and I wrote it's bluesy. And
I love Neil. Obviously, everyone knows I love Neil. This song would be fine if it was anyone but him singing it. This should be an old black man singing this song. It shouldn't be Neil.
Nah, Neil can do the blues, man.
Yeah,
We can play the blues.
Neil plays the blues, boy.
No, I think he does it here, man. I think he pulls this off. I feel it.
I don't know if I feel know. It.
I gotta say, I only listened in the car. Russ, I usually do ahead. I'm coming around, man. I only did a listen in the car, and a lot of times I do car listens. I do headphones listens, and I didn't do a headphones listen, and I'm only doing the headphones listen now. And I'm like, actually, it's a lot better in nice headphones.
Yeah, can you not?
It's pretty awesome.
Can you not be converted? God,
destiny.
Help me get through the rest of this.
It's all destiny. Right,
good. Let's get destiny. Through. Let's go to that one.
Russ is a child of destiny.
Do we have to play this song? Can't we just talk about it?
Come on. No. Let's play a little bit of it. Because if they don't hear it, then they don't know why we hate it.
Right? Listeners can't see, but Chew just brought his ball bag out.
Just kidding. What the hell is that?
That's the thing he brought out last time. All right, everyone knows that song.
Yeah,
that was the big one with the kid riding the bike with the American flag on the background and the video.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to watch that video, but Archives knocked me off of Rust for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
And you don't see that video when this came out? It was everywhere, dude. I saw it all like on Facebook all the time.
Oh,
I must
really?
Have, no. I must have blocked it out.
Yeah,
I saw this a lot. I saw this a lot. I heard this song a lot.
This is Disney Neil, like Storytone.
He resurrected Nietzsche for this song.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like it's the kitchen sink. Everything's in there, and it really annoys the shit out of me. I after listening to it a couple of times, I just skipped it.
It's Neil. Neil went back in time and he took Jack Nietzsche and he made him have a baby with Francis Scott Key, they made this song.
Actually, it sounds more like some kind of Maoist propaganda song.
It's
that they blare through speakers in a work camp.
It really does. Very weird.
It's like, you know, love our dear leader. He will save us from the capitalist system.
I mean, it is catchy though.
Is it catchy?
The whole first bam bam ba da. It's like
Russ. This song is worse than every song on Landing on Water. I'm sorry. It is.
That's a toughie.
That's a tough one.
This is a tough one.
Let's just move on. Let's just agree never to talk about this song again. Can we do that?
I'm in agreement.
It's the one he chose. This was like the single, man. That was the one.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's good.
No. I'm just saying.
Okay. I think Neil just became a troll in his later years. He's just trolling everyone.
Good for him.
Daryl, they're actually streaming it. Stop. Lock 'em up.
Right in the slow lane. He's trying to be Tom Waits here.
Yeah.
Looking for a floor model. I love that though. I love that line though.
I play too much. I'm going to play the whole song.
You know what? I like this very one too short. Because it's got a certain vibe to it.
Yeah,
it's got a vibe. I'll give you that. It's got a vibe.
Got a heavy vibe for sure.
And it's it's referencing the whole Hillary lock her up thing.
Yeah. I wrote
both candidates had enough on themselves where they should have both been locked up. But
yeah. I wrote Tom Waits. I wonder what this one's about.
Yeah. I love looking for a floor model.
Lock 'em up.
Something that's relatively safe. That's like I'm looking for something on the cheap, basically.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for a quick fix, something that won't cost none. Nobody wants to pay for anything. You know what I mean?
He's bordering ASMR here too.
Also, is he fat shaming? Is he calling Trump a double wide? Lock him up.
Stop. Hey,
lock him up. Lock him up. That really is what it is, dude.
Lock him up.
Lock him up. I gotta hear it again. I'm sorry.
Lock him up.
Quiet.
Lock him up. Luke, you must hate this song because of the sound effects.
Yeah, very much. It's almost worth it for the way he says. It's like a bad Godfather. It's like a. Hey, Daryl, you came here on the day of my granddaughter's wedding. I don't know. Okay, I ran out. Are you watching The Offer, Mike?
No, Luke's I haven't started watching that yet.
It's pretty good. Yeah,
I'm pretty much caught up on everything I'm supposed to be caught up on, except The Flight Attendant.
I've never seen
it. I watched the first season of that show. It annoyed me.
See, I thought the first season was amazing. The second season's kind of eh.
So you're saying amazing? She I think she annoys me. I think she's always.
Well, I think she's supposed to be annoying. She's an annoying alcoholic basic chick who's a stewardess.
Yeah, but she's annoyed me her whole career.
As her issues unravel, though, it becomes more interesting.
This is my take on anyone involved in the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you joking, Luke? Oh my God. Call that one.
It sounds like white Biggie Smalls.
And if you know, you know. Yeah. If you know, you know.
Shu, have you heard of Outer Range?
Yes, and I haven't started that yet either. That sounds very interesting.
I just finished it. I recommend it. Yeah, I recommend it.
Okay, I love that kind of stuff.
I'm not even gonna say. We'll talk about it after.
Do you watch Raised by Wolves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is it anything like that?
No. Okay. Like, don't go into it expecting.
Okay.
It's. All right. I won't. Yeah.
Okay.
Completely open. The cast is great. Raised by Wolves is awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, I love.
Do you want to hear my theory on Raised by Wolves?
Yeah, let's hear it. Although Luke, I don't think Luke's.
Who fucking?
Yeah, cares? I don't care. Yeah, go ahead.
Hates fucking
lock
carnival.
Lock him up.
I believe Raised by Wolves that they were out in space and they pulled a Planet of the Apes and they were redirected back to Earth and that's where they are right now.
Really?
They were in space for like 500 years or 1,000 years or something and then they came back.
So you think everything that's the whole time, both seasons, both sections of the planet?
Yeah. But they're actually back on Earth. That's how Earth evolved after they destroyed the climate and stuff. And that's how the climate came back with the de-evolved humans and the acid ocean. Because that's why they're finding all that religious stuff, because it was already there, because they were there.
Yeah, that's true.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though. How disappointed were you when Devo didn't come out of the water, you know? Human highway style, just like with the suits and everything.
Flowing red.
Yeah. All right, we got one more. Let's do it.
All right, but it's 10 minutes long, so that adds another hour to the episode.
Lock him up.
Stop it, Luke. Luke's over this record already.
Yeah, the songs on this record that I like, there's moments that I'm like, it's too long. This one too. I like some of this song.
Yeah, it could be shorter. Yeah.
Lock him up.
Earth is like a church without a preacher.
Lock 'em up.
The people have to pray for themselves. Animals and birds cannot help.
Okay, Russ. Hold on. Can you just fade it? I like how he loves birds so much that he doesn't include them with other animals. Animals and birds.
Right. They're above the rest of the species.
Well, I mean, literally, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because they can fly.
There's animals and
birds. Can a lion, the king of the jungle, fly? No.
In case you didn't know, birds can fly, and he's Canadian.
That's right.
By the way. Yeah. No.
This song is fine. It's way too long.
It's too long, but if it wasn't long, I would like it.
I'll go so far as to say this. If this song was maybe on a different album with a different set of songs, I don't think the length would bother me as much as it does. But I'm just so exhausted at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it stinks because I do like the song. And this is one of the ones where I do kind of agree with what Joel said, but it's kind of the only one where I feel a little bit of like Lucas and the guys influencing the song.
Yes.
It's got a very
Lucas tune. The guy who drives the vibe in this tune is Tato.
It's Tato, on the bongos.
He subtly just guides this song through the whole 10 minutes.
And there's some nice moments.
Yeah.
really nice Tato moments. And I like it. And again, that like sort of Lucas, like pop, pop type of guitar. Yeah. I feel the promise of the reel more on this one. And I like it. Also, I mentioned this song earlier, but I get a kind of a motion pictures-y sort of vibe.
Yeah, a little bit.
In the verse. Maybe, is it motion pictures or On the Beach? One of those tunes, you know what I'm talking about, Chu? It's got that.
Is it the one that has the rusty violin in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's motion pictures.
Motion pictures. Yeah.
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 I gotta be honest with you. There's only two times I listened to the song where I didn't fall asleep.
It's too long. It's far too long. It's right in the title. Yeah.
But if you have trouble getting to sleep,
it's called
night,
Forever.
Then, you know, in 10 minutes, you'll be asleep.
Forever, God is faithful. Lock him up. All right. Luke needs to go.
Yeah, Luke's done.
I can't.
We've lost Luke.
I need Luke's to be gone. Done with. What's next after this? Is it Songs for Judy? No, it's fucking Paradox, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Paradox. Yeah.
Is that
which is kind of a trip, man. That's more of a sound collage. That's kind of interesting.
Let's talk about let's watch the movie and let's talk about the movie and the soundtrack. And we don't have to do it like this where we go through.
Right.
Lock him up.
Oh, I'm up. So
well, what top three? I'm ready. If you guys want to,
you know, go ahead. If you
all right. My number three is Digging a Hole. I just like the vibe. I feel it. You know, it's just good. It's just I like that style, and I think he does it really well. Number two, already great, and number one, Carnival. In the should be on any best of Neil Young playlist that anybody makes. Carnival should be on there. Absolutely. Okay. I love that song so much. It's so bizarre. In fact, I'm going to make a weird Neil playlist.
Go ahead.
See what you guys,
Lock him up.
Go ahead, Russ. What do you got? What do you got, bad boy?
It doesn't even matter. The
It doesn't even matter.
I'll say I'm gonna put Forever, even though it's too long. I still like it, so I'll put that as my three. My two is it could go either one of the first two, but I'll go Already Great, and then my number one is also Carnival.
That's right, man.
It's so weird. It's so good that it's so weird.
It's the only thing on this record that I really, truly enjoy all the way through.
I actually like felt a nice, like you said, Chu, I had a good laugh. It like made me feel good.
Right. And you're just kind of, the whole time, you're just kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're like stunned in a good way.
Neil, man.
Yeah.
We've been doing this pod for a while now, and we've talked that we'll make exceptions. We can kind of bend the rules a little bit here. I'm going to go ahead and reverse our two things. I have top three cut songs for this album.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's my top three cut.
Lock them up.
Here's my top three cut songs. Number three, Stand Tall. Number two, Carnival. It's not even my number one. My number one is Children of Destiny, the number one cut song of all time. And then my one keep is Already Great. There you go.
What about you, Russ? What's your cut song?
I mean, take your pick, but I'll go with Stand Tall.
That was my cut song too. Yeah.
Over Children of Destiny?
Obnoxious.
Yeah, fuck Stand Tall. Fuck
At least Children of Destiny is a little bit interesting. You know, this Stand Tall is just friggin'...
It sucks. Yeah. That song sucks.
It's annoying.
Yeah, at least Children of Destiny, it's like... It's kind of like you said, it's got that Nietzsche. It's kind of like a little paying homage. It's like interesting.
Got a little character to
it. Dantal's got nothing for me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Lock him up.
All right. Well, we're going to tackle the.
Hold on.
The
what's your cut, Mike? What's your cut?
He just said Stand Tall.
Oh, Stand Tall. Yeah. Okay. I didn't hear that.
Luke, you got to go lock him up. Oh,
hold up. Let's do Paradox next.
All right. So we're gonna talk about the film and the soundtrack of Paradox. This is another Daryl Hannah directed film.
Let's get Daryl on the pod.
Let's get Daryl. Hey, Daryl, they want to talk
Holy
to you.
Holy shit, there's 21.
They're all super short.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like a sound collage. I don't know if you guys seen the movie. Have you seen the
movie? I watched some of it. I didn't
get all the way through it, yeah.
Yeah, it's again, weird to the point where you're just like, ooh, what the fuck?
Let's get, if we can't get Daryl, we'll get Adam Volek back on. He said he wants to come back on. So
did he? Oh yeah. Does he? Oh, that's right. He did work on this, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
I think yeah. he did. Yeah.
Yeah. See if he wants to come back.
Yeah. We'll try to get a few. Let's see if we can get Daryl. It'd be great. Russ, or I get.
Just, oh, I just on. Showed my daughter.
Oh, we could probably get Anthony. Movies. We could get Anthony back.
Get Paul Schneider. Get D. Snyder and Paul Schneider.
Yeah, Adam Snyder. Adam was the cinematographer.
Nice. All right, oh, so that'll be coming up next. Thanks for listening to Long May You Young.
Guys, we got to get Dave Snowbear Toms.
Yeah,
Snowbear. Or Robert Schmoo. Or Gooch.
Get the Gooch.
Tim Gooch.
We'll get Gooch and Cooch on.
Okay, yeah, we'll do a Gooch and a Cooch.
Gooch and Cooch episode. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, and a very active Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Long May You Young. We're also that on Instagram. And don't forget, what's our Patreon, Luke?
It's patreon.com/
All right. So we'd like to lock up your cash.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And we will speak at you again sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yep.
If this didn't.
It out with. You guys want to take it out with a lock 'em up?
Lock 'em up. Lock 'em up. Super Nintendo Sega lock 'em up.
All right.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.